Father God, we come here and as we look around, we see your creation. Thank you. Brother Jesus, we are here because of you and all that you have done for us. Thank you. Sister Spirit, blow through us and in us. We call to you from the four corners of the earth. Come and blow among us this morning. Amen.
This is Stuart Henderson and this is Bob Hartman, and we're leading the opening shout. And we want to be an opening shout. In order for it to be an opening shout, we have everybody standing up, please. And just in case you arrive late, we'll give a brief reprise of what we're going to do. In keeping with the theme of the Tree of Life, it's roots, shoots, and fruits. And the chorus is roots, we point to the ground, shoots, we point outwards.
Fruits, we point upwards, and then we clap twice. We'll do that four times. Let's try that. One, two, three, four. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Fantastic. For the verses, gentlemen, you are the roots. You repeat the words that Stuart says. Ladies, you are the shoots. You repeat the words that Bob says. And children, you are the fruits in every sense of the word, and you repeat loudly the things that I say. So let's have a try at that.
We are the roots, deep and strong.
We are the shoots, strong and long.
We are the fruits, on and on. Fantastic. The only other bit you need to know is later on, when we hear the words, for all who are the roots, you repeat that, so we'll try that. For all who are the roots.
For all who are the roots.
For all who are the shoots.
For all who are the shoots.
For all who are the fruits.
For all who are the shoots.
If you do it as well as that all the way through, that'll be fantastic. Let's start from the top after four. One, two, three, four.
Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits.
We are the roots, deep and strong.
We are the roots, deep and strong.
We are the shoots, strong and long.
We are the shoots, strong and long.
We are the fruits, on and on.
Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits.
No one's going to take our roots.
No one's going to break our shoots.
Everyone can taste our fruits.
Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits.
Let the roots bring forth the shoots.
Let the shoots bring forth the fruits.
Let the fruits bring seeds at root.
Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits.
Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits. Roots, shoots, fruits.
All the time, God is whispering his blessings on the land, the roots and fruits and shoots. And he never stops his whispering. And he never stops his blessings. And he never stops his love. He never stops his love. We will only hear that whisper when we stop, when we stop, when we stop and feel the silence. For then and only then, in that holy silence, in that holy silence, the whispering will roar. The roaring of God's whisper, the roaring of God's blessings, the roaring of God's promises.
For all who are the roots,
for all who are the shoots,
for all who are the fruits.
I am the vine, said Jesus to his friends. He said, I am the vine, and my Father tends the vineyard. He strims and trims, he grooms and prunes and shapes each grape bearing branch. I am the vine, said Jesus to his friends. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Let me flow in you. Let me grow in you, and we will make grapes together. Here is the wine, said Jesus to his friends. He said, here is the wine. It pours out just like blood. Drink of me when you come together. Think of me and never forget that love gives up its life for a friend. I am the vine, said Jesus. Here is the wine, said Jesus. I live my life, I give my life for you.
For all who are the roots.
For all who are the shoots. For all who are the fruits.
And now, just to finish this opening shout, if you turn to the opening page or the front page of your communion sheet, here's a poem you can join in. Here's a first for Green Belt Karaoke Communion Poetry. 1, 2, 3, 4. A crimson rhododendron, the bridesmaid's orchid spray, some garage four-court tulips which I bought on Mother's Day, the pinion rose of Sharon, lip gloss pinks of Chardonnay, from the Torah to the tabloids were an intricate display, the fuse and force of nature in Wordsworth daffodils, a mass expectant cavalcade for heaven's flaxen hills, the luscious blooms of Babylon, the pastures of Orion. I'd swap such verdant wealth to be a dandelion in Zion, azalea, the dahlia, the redwood and the reed, the cactus and the sweet pea, the cross and mustard seed, the epistle of the thistle, the thorn-clawed punctured face, the incarnation's ordinary grace, ordinary grace, ordinary grace, ordinary grace.
Thank you.
Pardon us if we just get the business bits of the morning over and done with. No church service would be complete without the notices. It's the most important part of the liturgy. Before we get into our stuff, we just have a missing person report. If Tracy Lianca Kay is in the audience, please contact the nearest steward. Everything that we're about to tell you is already in your order of service, so if you want to look at page one, it's all there, but we'll tell you anyway. If you get bored at any point, not that that's at all possible, the centre pages are there for doodling and thinking and just generally meditating on trees, the way that people used to do.
You'll find with your programs that you were given red luggage labels, and these are for your prayers. You see our beautiful white tree there. You're going to put the leaves on that tree. And what we want you to do is write on one side something that you want to thank God for this morning, and on the other side something that you want to pray for, something that's concerning you. And you need to have got those done by the time the prayers are finished. So you can either do it between now and the prayers or during the prayers, and then we'll pass them all forward, and somehow all those leaves are going to get on that tree. I'll watch and wait.
Let me introduce Tess to you. Say hello. It's probably worth you knowing that although we are friends, we're also from different denominations. So this isn't just a gender unity thing that we're doing this together. It's also to express the unity and diversity in Greenville. I have to say, this is the first time I've worn a scarf to celebrate communion. So
it's not a scarf.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Also, just again, to let you know that the communion is shared among us. If you have come here and you didn't know anything about what was going to happen, just to one side of the sound desk at the back, there is free bread and wine. Don't take all of it in one go. It's for sharing. And there's some also by the tree, and there is some also at the front. So if you've come without bread and wine, please grab some in the next half an hour. But otherwise, we hope you've all come with food to share. Grape juice is acceptable, and we can get into the theology of Coke and crisps and things later. But the idea is that we share this meal together, and about two-thirds of the way through the service, we'll be asking you to get into groups. Not too big, not too small, sort of 10, 20, 30, that sort of size. And please be looking around for people who haven't got any friends, and incorporate them so they have got lots of friends.
And also people with no food to share.
Yes, the foodless and the friendless. I'm now going to introduce my friend Peter Grayston from Christian Aid, who is going to be doing our reading this morning.
The whole of Christian Aid says good morning.
Good morning.
The Bible reading this morning is a story that Jesus told about a tree that started very small and grew very large. We're hoping to tell it with all the joy that Jesus did when he first told it. So please open up the order of service to find out where you join in. And if you'd like to, sit down and make yourself comfortable. Now, certain words in this Bible story prompt a reaction from you, things that I'd like you to join in telling the story. So every time we hear the word mustard seed, men, there's something for you to join in. When you hear the word mustard seed, men, will you shout out, "Does size matter?" And women, will you add to that, "No." Is there a subtext going on here that I haven't worked out yet? Don't invent your own script, all right? So let's try that. Mustard seed. I think we're getting somewhere close to what we want. Boys and girls, young people, whenever you hear the word small, will you say, "Tiny, tiny, tiny"? Okay, let's try that out. Small. Thank you very much. I'm sure you can do better than that when it comes to it. Grown-ups, if you want to add a little bit to the volume, pretend to be young. Whenever you hear the word tree, women, this is your moment. You shout out, "Tree of life." And everybody replies, "Hallelujah." So can we try that? Tree. Fantastic. So here's the story. Jesus told his followers a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. A mustard seed is very small. The tiniest of all your seeds. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree. Tree of life. And the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. What did Jesus mean when he told the story? The kingdom of heaven is the place where God reigns. It's the place where poor people find good news. Suffering people find healing. War-weary people find peace. And all that is unfair comes to an end forever. Now Jesus has walked on this earth. The kingdom has begun. Sometimes the number of Jesus' followers seems very, very small. What each person can achieve to make this world better seems very, very small. But Jesus wanted us to know that what now seems as little as a mustard seed will one day be made perfect in heaven. And then it will seem as big as a giant tree. Jesus' resurrection has changed everything. The power of new life to exceed what went before it is phenomenal. The little amount we give to poor communities, the couple of evenings we spend supporting Christian Aid, the postcard we send as part of a campaign for justice, they are mere mustard seeds. Because in the goodness of God, they've grown in recent years to make a genuine difference to the world's poorest people. That is the work of the kingdom. And in it, nothing we do for justice is too small.
That is a fantastic encouragement to join in the work of the kingdom. So now is the moment to turn faith into action. Go out and make the kingdom grow. 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. And we say to God, be thou my vision.
If you can, let's stand together.
Delighted to welcome you all here today, and it's my great pleasure to introduce our speaker this morning. Dalip started out as a family GP in India. Appalled by the poverty he witnessed there, he became director of a grassroots charity which was supported by Christian Aid. He subsequently came to the UK and is now director of the organisation. He's responsible for almost 700 staff and 350,000 volunteers supporting over 500 partner organisations. We would like to thank Dalip and his colleagues and Christian Aid for their commitment and support to the festival. And I'm delighted to welcome him to speak to us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you all for coming. What a great day to celebrate. This year, Christian Aid celebrates its 60th birthday, and we give thanks to God for the ways in which He has blessed us over these years to be part of the life, mission, and ministry of the churches in Britain and Ireland as their relief and development agency. And over the years, to be able to make a difference, to help people in need, to respond where there is disaster, but most importantly, to help build a better, more just and inclusive society in the perspective of our understanding of the kingdom of God. We in Christian Aid take very seriously our special partnership and relationship with Green Belt. It is a privilege for us to be associated with it. And together over the years, we have done things that I believe have helped people on the ground, not just in Britain and Ireland, where people have come here and have been excited by their faith and helped to put that faith into action. But together, we have prayed for and raised funds to help people in countries in which we work. We have been involved together in campaigning, advocacy and justice, as we've tried to contribute to the Trade Justice campaign and the Jubilee 2000 campaign. Together, we have made that difference. Some of you may have been involved in 1998 and since then in the Jubilee 2000 campaign, where we've got a promise, just a promise, of $100 billion worth of cancellation of third world debt. Now, we didn't get it all. And we are pushing in this Make Poverty History year to get more and better aid, but more cancellation of third world debt. But $100 billion is 1,000 years of Christian aid fundraising and fund giving. We did that together. And thanks be to God that we as Christians and as the church are taking part together as Greenbelt and Christian Aid in this movement for justice. And we want to take this morning to wish Greenbelt in the years ahead as they put together their new trust every success. We want to continue our prayers and our partnership. And with your support, your encouragement, we will do it together. We're not here just for a wonderful morning. We're here because as Christians, we want to build a better world. Sadly, today, 1.3 billion people live below the poverty line. Every 3 seconds, a child dies from an unnecessary cause. This is unjust, unfair, in a world of plenty where you and I can make a difference. So let us work together, not just in Greenbelt and Christian Aid, but throughout the Make Poverty History campaign this year to hold our government and the international community accountable so that all God's people can have the justice, inclusion, and healthcare and education that you and I take for granted. God bless you and have a great day today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dalip. And I'd now like to welcome Paul Wilson, fellow trustee of the festival, to join me where we'll tell you about our new project, Trust Greenbelt. For much of Greenbelt's history, we've been in debt. There are lots of reasons, but 6 years ago, when we moved to Cheltenham, Greenbelt was in so much debt that we almost shut down forever. But since we've been in Cheltenham, over 1,000 of you have become angels, giving money each month by direct debit, and you have kept the festival alive. Our partner Christian Aid stepped in to lend money on good terms, and that loan has now been repaid. Christian Aid and our other partners have helped keep the festival alive, and of course, we've been running the festival as prudently as possible. I'm delighted and excited to tell you that if all goes well this weekend, and it's looking good, we hope to report in the coming months that after 20 years, Greenbelt will have finally cleared its debt.
We are so grateful to the key people and the agencies that have helped get here. You know who you are. And most of all, we're grateful to the more than 1,000 of you who've become festival angels. We can only remain sustainable if you carry on being angels and if others sign up this weekend. Thanks to many of you, we can now focus on building our future together. To celebrate, we've launched Trust Greenbelt. You've probably seen the poster in your festival guide. Trust Greenbelt will give grants to projects and ideas at the intersection of faith, justice, and the arts. Trust Greenbelt will enable Greenbelt to walk its own talk the whole year round.
Here are some of the ideas that Trust Greenbelt will support. We're supporting a project started by a Greenbelter in one of our poorest parts of the country. It gives young people an opportunity to develop music making and recording skills. Another example is of a Youth for Christ project in Scotland that provides mentoring support, sometimes to young women, some as young as 13, who've become pregnant and gone on to have their babies. our involvement helps foster a creative way forward for these mothers and their children.
Trust Greenbelt will also work with festival partners and organisations you might have seen in the Emporium to support projects that combine faith, arts and justice in the developing world. For example, through Christian Aid, we've helped support an educational street theatre project in Sri Lanka that helps to stop domestic violence. We've also supported the creation of the Tree of Life sculpture that tens of thousands of people have seen outside the British Museum.
There are two ways that you can get involved in Trust Greenbelt. Firstly, many of you will be involved in or know about faith-inspired projects that are using the arts to restore justice to our broken world. If you can see how the project you are involved in combines art, faith, and justice, we want to hear from you, and details are in the festival guide. We will make several small grants of a few hundred pounds each year and a few number of larger grants as well.
Secondly, as part of our worship this morning, you have an opportunity to get behind Trust Greenbelt. By giving this morning, you are also thanking God for the fact that the Greenbelt community is in a much healthier state. Now Greenbelt can engage in God's work in our world throughout the year.
Each year, we will tell you where your gift goes. We aim to bring some of the ideas we fund to the festival each year. You should have been given an envelope on the way here this morning. Please use that envelope to give your gift and tick the gift aid box if you want to be able to allow us to claim the tax. Together, let us thank God this morning for the grace he has shown Greenbelt through our offering. Thank you.
I'm going to pray. After I've finished praying, can you please pass your luggage labels with your prayers on to the tree? If you put them over your heads, I'll ask you to do that once I've finished praying. And if you haven't written anything yet, then you can do that while I'm saying the prayers. Mother God, who we come from, our roots are in you. Our souls were birthed in you. We grow sustained by your loving care. Thank you for our individualities and our differences, for the unique gift of each human life. Help us to respect and honour that gift in one another. May we choose to see God in each other's eyes and believe that God can shine through our own eyes. Father God, who understands the earth's rhythm and our pattern of life, thank you for the beautiful complexity of our ecosystem and the wonderful, intricate nature of our souls. We are truly connected to the earth and to one another. Help us to remember this. May our interconnectedness be a cause for celebration, not for conflict. May we strive to be a part of peaceful communities and help build those communities in the villages, towns, cities, and countries we live in. Help us to love our enemies and forgive those who give us pain. Help us to seek forgiveness from our enemies and those people we have hurt through our ignorance and selfishness. Jesus, Son of God, Saviour of our souls, when you lived on earth, you condemned injustice and treated the downtrodden with love and respect. You campaigned on behalf of the weak and the undervalued. Help us to go and do likewise, wherever we are and whichever situation we find ourselves in. Help us to choose light over darkness and to practice grace instead of condemnation. Our hope is that you will uphold us in times of despair. May this hope be a reality that we can share with those around us who are suffering. Come, Holy Spirit, and brood over the earth. Inspire us to live according to heavenly patterns of grace and mercy. Guide our hearts and our minds and join us to one another and in unity with our God and all of creation. Amen. Can you please now send your leaves forward? Thank you.
Too small. Look out for people who aren't in groups or who haven't got food.
We're going to have our offering now. And the way that we're going to do it is that the stewards will bring a rather beautiful champagne bucket to each group. And if you could use that bucket with each group and then bring, or if you're a long way ago, I suggest that you pass it towards the tree where we will say thank you and bless it. So when you're in your groups, hopefully pretty soon some buckets will be appearing.
Mind you, if you haven't got bread and wine, there's extra. All good things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Bless this gift to your service of your people. Amen.
We're going to tell you a story. We're going to tell you the story of the Tree of Life. Tess and I will read it to you. And on the stage, Springs Dance Company are going to illustrate it. So if we're not beautiful enough or expressive enough, turn towards the stage. First of all, upon a time, when time had just begun, there was a tree. She was a big tree with roots that went down and down. Down through the red, red rust of earth, the sandy ochres and the deep, dark browns. Down through the deep, deep waters of the fathomless oceans and on and down to the center of the universe. And all the fishes and creatures of the sea shimmered and wiggled and lumbered through the roots of that big tree.
And as the earth met the roots of the tree, a big trunk with kind barky bark towered out of the ground, and scratched into the bark were the names of every creature, because God loved them. God provided shelter and strength and food under this tree, and every kind of slimy or furry or scaly animal or speck of tiny bug sheltered there. And so did the yellow, brown, red, and pink-skinned peoples from every tribe and every nation under the sun. And up in the branches lived all the birds of the air, the bright spangly feathered ones and the little brown ones, no bigger than a leaf. And the green leafy mantle branches reached up and out across the wide open sky of heaven. And it was one sky. And the creature's soul sang blessings because the tree was like them, grown by heaven from a seed in clay.
Now in the shadow of the tree, there was a garden. In the middle of the garden was a tree smaller than the big tree. It bore strange fruit, and God had written a sign saying, "Do not touch." Some of the men and women wondered why, when all the fruit God made was so delicious. What could be wrong with trying it? This hunger to taste the new and forbidden grew as an ache inside them. But the strange fruit was familiar too. It smelt like the taste of home. And this desire to leave and the desire to come home got tangled up inside the men and women till they couldn't tell which was which. So they reached out and took the fruit. But when they bit into the sweet flesh, it became mirrors in their hands, and they saw their faces for the first time.
But they did not see what God saw, because the mirrors were not a true reflection. They could not see the wealth of all the different kinds of beauty that God had made. Once they saw that other people did not look like them, they started to decide who was the same as them and who was not. And God, who looked like all of them, they now glimpsed only dimly.
Now this hurt God for a long time. When God had made the big tree, she was the shelterer of all. And now these people seem to want to choose who could be sheltered and who not. God thought, this is not the way of love. My ways are no longer their ways. I need to live with them under the shade of the big tree so that they know my name. My home is among them. Then they could do away with those mirrors and look at me and see themselves for who they truly are.
And so God came, wet and wild and warm, crying into our world under the big tree. And the man and woman who were his family here named him Jesus. And when Jesus grew up, he worked with the wood of trees for a living. He planed and carved and ploughshared. He also told stories about God and the big tree, and he had healing in his fingers. But one evening, when he was not yet old, Jesus was eating what turned out to be his last meal with his friends.
At that supper, while he was still at the table, he picked up some bread made by human hands from the grain of the earth. He blessed the bread and broke it apart. He gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this and remember me."
Then he took one cup to be shared by all. Into it he poured some wine. The wine was made by human hands from the fruit of the vine. He blessed the wine and gave it to his friends, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood, which will be shed for you to make a new way through. Do this whenever you drink it, and remember me.
Now, one of Jesus' friends who shared in the bread and wine had become so changed to his own reflection that he couldn't see anything clearly anymore. He left the table and handed Jesus over to the soldiers and the long dark night. And after the night, the day. They led him up a hill, dusty and steep and burning in the midday sun. And on the top of the hill were three trees. The soldiers nailed Jesus and two other men onto the trees and left them there to die. And as Jesus was dying, men and women turned their mirrors towards him, but still his face showed true. They could not alter the look of his love. And when the God-man breathed his last, the sky turned black and the big tree withered and died with him. She became the tree of death, for all the darkness of the world overshadowed her. She was overwhelmed with all the things that were never meant to be. All the selfishness and greed.
All the unbroken cycles of wrong and hurt.
All the cruelty and violation that children grow up with.
All the damage long after the abuser has gone.
All the cancer and the disease.
All the moments of first diagnosis.
All the chills of hearing the names of those killed.
All the tsunamis and the unrepaired lives.
All the staring eyes of children bloated with hunger.
All the overfed powerful with no mercy.
All the poverty that never became history.
All the certainty of religion that bombs and kills.
All the certainty of religion that excludes and severs our interconnectedness.
All the strewn apart loss by terrorism.
All the strewn apart loss by war.
All the lights of peacemakers whom this dark world puts out.
All the fear that stifles hope.
All the love longed for that never arrives.
All the tears cried and the dry-eyed whose pain is numb.
All the brokenness within us and around us.
All the struggles we've brought with us to this field this morning.
All the parts of ourselves that we have not knowingly brought because we cannot dare to acknowledge.
All the things we do and say and think because we don't see ourselves as God sees us. Let's say together,
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. And so all the mirrors cracked and shattered, and the big tree let out a singular cry, the most plaintive, sad, waily wail ever heard. It came way down from her roots, up to the rooftop heaven, and it split the world open. The sky was blackly black with no light at all. And it stayed like that for the whole of a Saturday. And then on the Sunday morning, when it seemed like no dawn would come, the sun came arising over the dark, shroudy hill, and Jesus, the God-man, who died on top of the hill, came wandering in the dewy garden, and the big tree and all who lived under her woke into newness. And although Jesus was no longer like the people he'd lived amongst, for he had done a thing that only God can do, They recognized him because they had loved him. They knew themselves as one of the little ones under the big tree and her big God. And the shiny light of God's own face and the gazy love and the day star grace broke upon them and they started to see.
In the misty morning light, they saw that the big tree was radiant with mercy and covered in shoots and buds. And the heavenly skies were as one great mirror. And when all God's children looked up, they saw everything that was made. And they saw that it was good. They thought that all the good had died. But the tree was blossoming fat again. And Jesus had come back to sing a new song that was, in fact, an old song. Their souls knew the tune deeply down, because it was their firstborn song, the song of life. They'd come home. The seed of love sown in clay and made in heaven was evergreen. It couldn't die. And when they'd finished singing, God called them to come and celebrate with a homecoming supper. The heavenly goodness of every color and texture and taste was on that table, there prepared by joyful and loving hands. And all of God's children were sat down together, rejoicing under the one mighty, flowering big tree.
We pray for the coming of that time when we can feast together under the big tree by saying the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And so we call upon the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, whose story we have just heard again. The Spirit of our Creator God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of true reflection, the Spirit that weaves the children of God together, the Spirit that calls us to the feast and to this place today, the Spirit of life. We call upon the Holy Spirit that as we eat and drink these gifts of your creation, they may become for us the body and blood of Jesus, our loving God, who came to dwell among us under the big tree.
What we'd like to do now is to invite you to use the prayers on the back of the order of service, if you like, but to share bread and wine together. This is really the beginning of our meal together, which will go on into the picnic. But right now, we are just going to share bread and wine and begin that meal by blessing and sharing with each other.
Generous God, by your Spirit you have given us a taste of heaven, a taste of home which we had to leave in order to find. In the distortion of our own reflection we thought we were big, but instead we divided ourselves from our own bodies. We divided parts of ourselves from our own wholeness. We divided ourselves from each other. We divided ourselves from you. But Jesus, you see all of us with your loving gaze. You covered our littleness with your big mercy under the shelter of the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Thank you for inviting us to this carnival of all comers, for at the heavenly table, when we will see you face to face, you will wipe every tear from our eyes, and death will be no more. Amen.
So, go forward in the spirit of mercy and courage to make love big in God's precious world. Amen.
Amen.
That is the formal end of our service. We're going to sing together, but those who need to get off, feel free. But we're going to sing a blessing to each other, and then we're going to celebrate. And after that, there's going to be an absolutely fantastic band to play to everyone as we enjoy our picnic. Thank you, and God bless you.
May your sky always be blue. May your sky always be blue. Let the clouds stay away. Let the clouds stay away. And if a storm arrives, let it clear the air. If a storm arrives, let it clear the air. May the Lord keep you safe. May your sky always be blue. May your sky always be blue. Let the clouds stay away. Let the clouds stay away. And if a storm, let it clear the air. If a storm arrives, let it clear the air. And may the Lord keep you safe. May your sky always be blue. May your sky always be blue. May his face shine upon you. Let the light be upon you.
And if a storm arrives,
may he keep you safe. May she
Hello, hello. This is just a very brief bit of business. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, Alistair Carmichael has been cancelled, but he's been replaced by Prabhu Guptra. What could be better? That's enough to celebrate. Thank you and good night.
Okay, folks, it's our last chance to exercise our lungs and our bodies. If we lay, we're going to sing "Oh Happy Day." You
know, when Jesus washed, when Jesus washed.